The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Deuteronomy chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb, and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, and you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking to him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is the gospel lesson. I struggled this past week picking one of the lessons because Deuteronomy is one of my favorite books of the Old Testament. But then I looked at the gospel lesson, and it's the Transfiguration Sunday. I've always been a little leery preaching on that Sunday because there's so much to it. But it's also a strange story in a way. It's Jesus in a way we don't generally see him. And he's talking to two men who were long ago dead. Maybe I was just being kind of weird about the whole transfiguration thing. Maybe I'm just too comfortable with Jesus and the rest of the gospel lessons. But there's a tendency in the church to be too comfortable with Jesus. Some churches have gotten rid of the clerical garments and the traditional church architecture. They want churches to look more like living rooms. If only the music was closer to today's music, is their thinking. The goal is to blend in. They don't want their pastor looking different on a Sunday morning. A shirt and tie is enough. They're too comfortable with where they are. Our church doesn't look like your living room. All right? Our music is not like the car radio, especially that last hymn. You never hear that one on the car radio, do you? Even the gospel stations don't cover that one. And pews were not designed for comfort. I've been in a church that had coffee cup holders in the pews. They had the coffee bar just outside the church where you could get your coffee for the way in, and they also had donuts. That's Bible study food, not church service food. Even if you look at our windows, we have light coming through stained glass. Each one has a different picture. Each picture is meant to teach a lesson. See, when churches were originally designed, remember, most people couldn't read. So the way to teach the Bible stories was in the way of pictures and statues. But church architecture is focused, or should be focused, on the altar. There's a tendency to, in some churches, to have seats all around in a circle and the pastor to stand in the middle. It's the idea that you're engaging one another from across the church. I'm sorry, I'm straying way far away from Transfiguration Sunday, but sorry about that. Older churches have a focus on what's front and center, that being the altar and the cross. Even I stand to one side not to block the view of the cross. When the person off the street comes in the church, they should see something different, out of the ordinary, whether it's the robes, building, or music. They're not too comfortable with church. Why? Why did I go through all of this? Because not only is church different, but our God that we worship is very different. What's the right word to describe God? Unique? Awesome? Incomprehensible? Or perhaps we just use the word big. We take a step out of the ordinary in this gospel lesson and step into something with eternal dimensions. The God that we worship is not always easy to understand. It's not easy to come to terms with his thoughts and his ways. Why does God do certain things? Why does God allow certain things? We then have the great Lutheran answer, which is what?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, that's one of the great things about being a Lutheran. We don't try to fill in the holes that Scripture leaves for us. We throw our hands up and say, I don't know. We just trust God to be God. Yes, in the gospel lessons, he's like one of us. But he's also different. Like in the Transfiguration, he reveals a bit of his glory. He did that in his earthly ministry. He raised the dead. He would also die for all. And not only does he forgive all people, but he forgave those of his 11 disciples who abandoned him. He even glows in our gospel lesson in quite a different way. The three disciples did not understand what they had seen. Look at Peter's response. I love it. And Jesus will build a tent for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah. And the gospel writer puts right into the text, Peter didn't know what he was talking about. We don't know what Jesus, Moses, and Elijah talked about fully. We know it was about his coming departure. But we don't have a full script. I would love to know what Moses and Elijah had to say. Would love to know, but that's another one of those things. I don't know. But the disciples agreed not to tell anyone. They told the other eight disciples after the resurrection. That's when it would make sense. Jesus had died, he was buried, he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he'd done all those miraculous things. Then they could say, yeah, remember when he took us up on the mountaintop? Guess what we saw up there? And the other eight disciples would have gone, yeah, he did that. For 3 years, the disciples had a hard time understanding Jesus' words and actions. His words and actions challenge us to rethink everything we know about God. Before the transfiguration, Jesus had told them what it meant to be a Messiah, to be the Messiah, and to be a disciple. That the Messiah had to suffer and die. He says of the disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and following me. He was promising his disciples suffering and perhaps death to be his followers. It flies in the face of feel-good religion. I'm going to pick on Joel Osteen for a second. Every now and again, when I'm in a strange mood, I tune him in on the radio. I don't hear him talk about the suffering and death and resurrection of Christ. I hear a feel-good type of church. But Jesus teaches something different about being a disciple. People talk about being more spiritual rather than religious. It took me a while to figure out what exactly that meant. But I found a great quote that defines being more spiritual. It's about following a more enlightened path so that you walk in rhythm with God and with creation and do well with your life. In short, it's a form of self-improvement. Jesus says following him is going to involve sacrifice, suffering, and perhaps death. We can't dilute Jesus' teachings, even when it flies in the face of our sense of justice. See, we believe that the good are rewarded and the bad are punished. But in the world, it's not that way. Jesus even turned up things upside down when he said the first will be last. And then he forgives what we could term great sinners. Look at St. Paul, for example. A man who was a vigilante, because Rome did not condemn stoning people to death. Only they had the right to put somebody to death. That's the whole reason for the trial of Jesus in front of Pilate. But Paul was a vigilante who hunted Christians and was the leader of the stoning of Stephen. But yet God forgave him. From a human, worldly perspective, we would expect an evil man like Paul or Saul at that point to be punished for what he did, not forgiven. The Bible talks about the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Jesus in the Gospels and Jesus of Transfiguration Sunday doesn't always fit our image of God. We want a Messiah, a lot like what the disciples wanted, who would bring justice, peace, and security. Instead, we get one who forgives, bleeds, dies, rises, and ascends, and in the Gospel lesson, glows. I'm not suggesting that we don't know Jesus. We know plenty about him. Excuse me. There's a lot, though, we don't know on this side of eternity. Plenty of things we'll get wrong, but it keeps us humble. Transfiguration, the transfiguration, is easier to understand why it happened. It was for the benefit of the disciples to affirm them and to encourage them, despite the strange things that Jesus appeared to say to them. But then you have the words of God the Father, who says, "This is my Son, my chosen one," and then the key part, "Listen to him." The disciples needed this message. The opposition to Jesus was growing. The church leaders were becoming more hostile to Jesus. And Jesus, to them at that time, was getting harder to understand. But they needed to be strengthened for their mission. There's something, though, that we can grab hold of. Perhaps it's the very essence of the life of faith. We struggle, we're weary, and too much we simply don't understand. But we catch a glimpse of the glorious nature of Christ. He gives us the strength to keep going. Following Jesus is a tough call because we don't always know where he's taking us, and we don't know what lies around the next corner. Following Jesus can cause problems, make us enemies, can cause us to suffer. But yet we have seen enough of the magnificence of Jesus to know that if we're following him, we are headed in the right direction. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused always on Christ till life everlasting. Amen.